One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You do what you want. Do whatever you want, Gilly. You do what you want. Nobody cares. Nobody actually cares. Good evening to you both, though. Thank you ever so much for joining me. I know people are probably a little bit shocked because we should have had a little ginger dwarf joining us tonight, but actually hosting us tonight. But it sounds like he actually might have a date on Halloween. Halloween. Halloween, but I meant so. You are left, unfortunately, or fortunately, with myself and Cal and Gilly. How are we doing, chaps?
Doing well.
Good.
Good form.
Pleased to hear it. We're going to run a bit of an intro and we'll get into a little bit of footy talk, I suppose.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
I look like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
Utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit like dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Good evening, fellas. And yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about football. But before we get on to talk about the recent, because we're including the BNC tonight, for those of you who didn't notice, didn't care really, I don't suppose. We do usually do the main pod on a Tuesday night. Obviously, we had a game last night. So tonight is going to have a beer adding coke sort of wedged in at the start. But before we do get on to the BNC, Gilly went AWOL for a short while and didn't submit any of the updates for the predictions league. So what we are going to do, we're going to do the two games prior to Swansea, then we'll talk about the Swansea game, and then we'll have a final update on the predictions league. So take it away.
That was a big bus that just threw him under there.
Yeah, well.
Ought to Know Better predictions.
Professional outfit here. Sorry.
That's it, yeah. Clockwork. It's been a little bit because I went on the main pod prior. So we're covering Bristol, Rotherham, and we'll come on to Swansea. So from a Bristol perspective, it was 1 point all around except for Smarty, who by virtue of his 2-1, obviously it was a 1-0 victory, took himself 3 points. That did put us in a position where the league table didn't change at all. Smarty just left Cal behind somewhat and drew level with Jay. So there were no changes in the positions. We then stepped forward to Rotherham, where Smarty bagged himself 5 sweet points. And after a little bit of verifying and cross-checking and just making sure that the predictions captured were an accurate reflection of what we were looking for, Jay and Smarty took themselves 5 points from Rotherham. And what that means is Luke, by virtue of not getting anything wrong, goes from third to sixth because he's been overtaken. So when we look at the scores, actually third to fifth it is, I'm top on 37. I've only been picking up one at a time, so it's closing in behind me. Bren's on 33, Smarty's on 33, Jay's on 33, Luke's on 32, Carl's on 26, and fans are on 18.
I thought I was only 2 points behind you.
You were no. No, you were 2 points behind Bren. Bren in second.
Hey, Stewards Inquiry. Nice. I don't know. I don't know what goes on with these spreadsheets. Anything could happen with these spreadsheets. And we'd just have to believe you, wouldn't we?
But we know it's
your
we
word for it.
Spreadsheet, man.
Not saying you're dishonest or out like that, but I feel I'd done to. They really had done to. Who gives a shite? It's a make pretend bastard league. Is that fully updated? Is that fully updated to be for Prior Swansea now?
That's up to Prior Swansea, yes.
And everyone just got a point against Swansea, I'm assuming, anyway. So nobody guessed a 4-goal difference, did they?
No, that is right. No, nobody did. So it is, and that's why we're saying. So the do what you want, Gilly. Whether we talk about Swansea's predictions or we talk about the game first, but
it doesn't
really matter. So you are right. Nobody got any more than a point. So the league table will be as it is.
Great stuff, and that has ruined my night. And on that note, we'll see you all next week. let's talk Swans then. Let's talk Swans. I went on with Joe, did the Friends Parcel of Friends, did a final word, his version of it wasn't the final word. I do apologize. I think that's tonight at some stage, but I did his match reaction, which is their equivalent of BNC, but first things first, I was quite shocked at how good a performance it was, certainly in the first 15-20 minutes. I don't know about you guys, but I was Tuesday night away from home. It had the makings of a, you know, they're shite, but it had the makings of a bit of a banana skin, didn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, I think any trip to South Wales is going to be a bit of a banana skin, really, isn't it?
Well, you say that, but we've scored 7 in our last 2 visits to South Wales and not conceded.
Okay, so prior to this season, it's been a fairly sticky place. Now, I don't know, Gilly will probably pull up some stats. Well, like,
where do you go in the south when you go to South Wales? Or don't we want to know?
I don't know. It's probably the same place as Smarty. We just end up avoiding each other, man.
he goes to North Wales. That's probably why.
Oh well, there you go. But look, I thoroughly enjoyed it last night. I thought that was an absolutely stonking performance and should have probably been about 6 or 7-0, really.
No, I mean, in a nutshell, yeah. I mean, if that was all we were going to say, we'd probably have a relatively short pod tonight, Carl. But thanks for your incredible insight, as ever.
Go on.
On the balance of play, we had plenty of chances, and you know, Willie could have had another couple. Rutter was fouled for the penalty. Did you think that was a penalty, Gilly?
Yes.
You don't want it to be a penalty, though, do you?
No, I don't want it to be a penalty, but what we're after is consistency, and I think it's one of them where actually, you know, we've spoken about opposition more than us have spoken about our players and their willingness to go down. I think we've seen Willie potentially fall foul a little bit, where referees are looking at him potentially as somebody that quite easily goes down when he's under a tackle, and therefore he's not getting decisions, because I think that there were one at the weekend that should have been at least a free kick, regardless of whether it carried on into the box and all of that sort of stuff. It was a definite foul and we didn't get anything there. I think the Rutter one, I don't know if you remember, Bamford about 3 seasons ago literally turned to a ref and went, what do I have to do? Do I have to dive? After he'd been completely cleaned out. It's a soft one, but they're given so regularly when it's not us that it's one of those of stop it being a pen or make it a pen every time it happens. And I don't think that a player should have to throw themselves to the floor just to get a decision. But you know full well that if he goes down under that challenge, he's forcing the referee to make a decision. The referee's probably going to give a pen, but he shouldn't have to go down for that.
Nah, you're right. He shouldn't. And that's what's sort of, I suppose, spoiling and ruining the game a little bit, isn't it? Let's be honest. Like, we don't want to see players going down. We don't. We want to see a tough battle. We don't really want that to be a penalty. In the modern game, it is a penalty. You know, you only got to rewind, I would probably say, as little as 10, 15 years, and that's not even a foul. That's not foul. But ultimately, the letter of the law suggests that that is a penalty. And I think, did you say it should have been a red card as well? Or was that the Nonto incident? Sorry,
no, I think... Yeah, no, that was the one where I'd looked up the Football League rules, because we were debating that one as well in our group chat, weren't we? It was where we were pulled back on the halfway line, and you're thinking there's one defender that potentially could get across on the cover, but we know that once Will is away, the guy behind him is not getting back at him. And it was that one that we were talking about rather than the penalty incident on Rutter. And again, I don't want that to be a sending off. No. But at the same time, you know for a fact, if that's going against us, it's going to be given, and we're going to be coming under scrutiny. And I think that's, you know, we're looking for consistency. And I think that, again, brings us to looking at, is that the intent behind a blue card? Because I think that just needs to fuck off and get in the bin.
Yeah.
But a yellow card doesn't feel harsh enough for that. It's a professional foul. He's intentionally not made a play for the ball and played a play for his opponent who's got away from him. So, you know, by the letter of the law, it's a professional foul and therefore should result in a red card. But red card feels too much. Yellow card don't feel enough. But I'd rather be frustrated by that than have to put up with blue cards and then size just sitting in until their player comes back on. And I don't know. It's a bit of a mess. But ultimately, fuck them. We smashed them. We deserved it. The game were over as a contest 10 minutes in, wasn't it? It was one of those where it was just eminently professional throughout. You know, we were 2-0 up within 10 minutes and then won it at a canter. It wasn't a difficult one at all in the end.
No, it won. And I think one of the comments I made specifically on the game was it felt like we were in a training match. It didn't ever feel. But the difficulty with that was we were letting them bypass us a little bit too easy and getting through. I mean, they weren't ever really any threat, realistically. They got some good positions, but they didn't ever really look threatening. But we did let them carry the ball. We did let them bring it forward when they wanted to. You know, Pirot doesn't do the same job that Paddy did. Paddy does, who was obviously unfortunate to get injured in the warm-up. But he doesn't do the same job. He's not as quick as Paddy. You know, he's a big lump, is Pirro. You sort of underestimate how big he is. So for us to expect him to be doing that job, but I still think he had a really good game yesterday, Joel Pirro, by the way, I might add. One of the things I think we struggle with Joel Pirro is he makes some quite good runs, as proper striker runs now and then, and we don't tend to feed him. But yet when he's got his back to goal, we're putting the ball into his feet. And he hasn't got it in him to turn and get a shot.
He's not that sort of player, is he?
He's not that. He's not. So that was a little bit frustrating. I think the other thing was he looked like he was trying to run and get back and chase, but the centre back was outpacing him. Do you know what I mean? So he's not pacey, which made them it made it quite easy for them to bring it out when they wanted to. But yeah, as you said quite rightly, it was a professional performance. Do you think, Carl? Do you think we took beat off the gas in the second half? Is that something we done purposeful to save energy? Or
no, I don't think we did. I thought bringing on James and Anthony, even when we were 3-0 up or 4-0 up at the time, it showed real intent to want to go for it. Like, and I don't think bringing on two of those types of players is Farke saying, right, let's just sit back and you know, see the game out. We were 4-0 up. Like I was saying earlier, I know it was as insightful as you'd all hoped. But we could have been 6 or 7-0 up. And I think it shows great kind of drive from the manager to want to be able to give us more goals and you know, for the team. Like it's another point essentially on the final day, potentially, like, you know. So to open up a good goal difference is something I think is crucial now, because the teams we're playing are going to be, you know, we've got Leicester next Friday after Plymouth and Chelsea then. And it, like to rack up a few goals again on Saturday would be a good one. I'd take it all day long. But the overall performance was, I thought, geez, no, I didn't think we took our foot off the gas very much at all. I thought Swansea played a very high line. We exploited that quite regularly, which was a bit weird from them, because the way we play, a lot of teams, even at home, would kind of not be as adventurous as they were in the press and playing such a high line. So I think we took full advantage of that, and they didn't change for the whole game. So Farke bringing on Anthony and Dan James was probably the right thing to do. Just keep going at them.
Yeah, actually,
Go ahead, Gilly. I was just going to pop up the momentum stats from SofaScore, or at least I would do if it were working, but it's not popping it up. I do have them in front of me, and you can see that when you look at it. So we'll tweet out so people can see it. There we go. Just took a while to load. You can see that early in the second half.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was just not on mine. Sorry. So early in the second half, it looks like they were kind of in the game. Now I don't think they really did much against us, but we weren't pressing the advantage in the way that we were. But then 70 minutes or so, we started making changes, and you can see that we were just back on top again. And obviously, getting the goal when we did, I think that kind of, I actually said, they're making some changes now. If you're Nonto, what you want to do is you want to get up the pitch with the ball and you want to score. And he instantly did and then got subbed off. And I think on balance of play, they were never really in the game. They had a fair amount of the ball early in the second half. But as we said, it was over as a contest by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think I slightly disagree with what Carl said about them not taking the foot off the gas. I think they did, and I think it was part of the instructions was to slow the tempo down, was to not score every time we have possession of the ball. I noticed we passed it backwards a little bit more and just let the centre backs have a little pass about. But controversial, but would you have preferred to go for the jugular and risk, you know, you extending, sorry, not ex- extending, expanding an extra 10-15% of their fitness and energy into that game, or when the game's already won at 3-0 at half time, or whatever it was, it was 3-0 at half time, in the second half, and take the fourth of the gas and actually conserve that energy and actually going into Plymouth on Saturday, feel like most of them will feel like it was a training session. I'll be honest with you, and that they will have conserved a lot of that energy, and come Saturday they probably won't even know that they played Tuesday.
I see your point there, like, but at the same time, were we ever really, you know, in fifth gear? Like, did we ever really properly get out of third gear in that match as well? Like, so I don't know, maybe we did. I just thought that any time we went on the attack, we were as, you know, positive about going for it as we were when it was the three before the half time. Like, so, but I get what you're saying. Like,
I think it's one of them as well, though. So one of the things that was said on Twitter after the Rotherham game was that the game were a bit boring. And my response to that was I'd take boring 3-0 from now until end of the season if that's what it took. Because if we win 3-0 every game from now until end of the season, we probably go up as champions, let alone automatically promoted. So I think it's one of them where being able to reflect on a professional performance where we might not have got out of third gear or even into it, and have brushed aside a team that actually, when you look at some of the conversation leading up to it, people thought, you know, that could be a banana skin. Carl's referred to our traversing across to South Wales. Usually it's Cardiff that's the difficult one for us. I think we've won 4 out of the last 7. We've only ever lost 12 times to them. So, you know, it's not a fixture that has been traditionally a terrible one for us. And it's always funny to put one over on Matt Grimes and his mum. But it's one of those where it's just a, you know, we've turned up, we've done a really professional job, and actually that's what we need to do. And foot off the pedal, conserving some energy. If you're 3-0 up and you're able to coast and the team still can't lay a glove on you, that's a really good sign for us, I think. And that might not be the most exciting. It's not a Bielsa, because Bielsa would have been go, go, go constantly. It wouldn't have been to change at all. But actually, if there were any negatives that we ever had while Bielsa, while he was at our club, it was not making the changes, not having enough players available to him, and not taking advantage of being on top and being able to conserve some energy. So I think that there's a real power in that, and that's we've now got the opposite frustration because we did get used to Bielsa and we did have that thing where it was just foot fat to the floor constantly throughout the entire game. It's a long old season. There's a lot of football to go. We're still in the FA Cup. You know, that Chelsea game reflects an ability for us to go and actually show what Farke has done here and impress on a side that's got a glittering array of talent that's spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds on its squad. Let's go and see what we can do there while focusing on the league and being that professional and being in that situation where a side that is, you know, they've been at this level for an extended period now. They should be able to compete and they couldn't compete with us. So that's a really good sign.
Yeah, I mean, can't disagree with that. I just want to talk about a few performances then last night. I mean, I found it very difficult to pick a man of the match last night. I mean, I think I probably went for, well, I won't tell you, I'll come on to who I thought it was later on, but I just felt there was lots of 8 and 9s out of 10s everywhere and at a canter as well. You know, it really was that easy for us last night. And I don't want to become this, I don't know even what the best word is, but I don't want to become this individual that actually, you know, starts slating the other ones and a bit. What's the word, Gilly, that we call Liverpool fans and scum and that?
When entitled.
Entitled is the right word. I don't want to become this entitled fan that because we're almost arguably the best side in the league on his day. In fact, I would say we are the best team in the division on our day. We would beat anybody, and we've proven that with Leicester away this season because they're the runaway team, and we beat them. I also don't want to disrespect Swansea as well, really, because you know, as you say, they've been in this division for a long time. They've done it all before, but it almost shows that because the top three teams in this league have come straight down from the Premier League, does that sort of envisage and show that the gap between the Championship and the Premier League is getting bigger every year, do you think?
I think it does. And I think if you look at the finances, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about parachute payments being bad for the Championship. I think because financially there is such a massive discrepancy between the Premier League teams and the Championship teams, and then from there down the pyramid, I think the one thing that we saw, and Kieran tweeted this a couple of weeks ago from The Price of Football, he had talked about how the Premier League had promised additional funding to the rest of the pyramid and that had not materialised. And I think that if they can handle the finances in a very different fashion, actually, there's a lot less emphasis on those parachute payments. I think if you've got a side that has been repeatedly promoted, relegated, promoted, and have got a business model that is consistent with them being able to function outside of the Premier League without all of its riches, if you look at Norwich and their ability to do business and so on, they're much more able to deal with the impact of being relegated. If Everton go down, they're screwed. It'd be brilliant because they are screwed. And so I think that, you know, the parachute payments not being available to them would be absolutely disastrous, even more than, you know, just the relegation in and of itself. And they would just hemorrhage players and hemorrhage money, and it'd be a nightmare. And I can't wait. But I think we're just in this position where something needs to change. And I think it's on the Premier League. The Premier League is where all the money is. And it is made up of its own members. And the way that they handle money is down to them. They did promise additional money to the rest of the pyramid. They've decided differently and they've not kept to that. But it would put a lot less emphasis on the parachute payments, which does give a great weighting to the sides that have come down.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So just going back to player performances, I don't want to spend too much longer on the Swansea game. But who excelled for you, Carl? Who was your first of all? Who was your top three men of the match, and who was your number one?
Top three.
So who do you feel had a strong performance, but probably wasn't quite?
I thought,
give us 3, 2, and 1 in that order, please.
Right, okay, 3, 2, and 1. I'd go with Kamara. I think played quite well. You know, he battled very well in front of the box. Was very forward thinking for a lot of the game. Without trying to be obvious and all that, I'll go with Ampadu.
But my number one, I think, because of the way it's been for him and all that, and he's got four goals in four games, I'm going to go with Willie as my man of the match. I think he deserves it. Two goals last night. Thought it was his best performance since all the shit happened in the summertime. And I thought he showed a real kind of desire to want to be in the team and properly help us out. His tracking back was... It was up there with Dan James tracking back. Now, not with the pace by any means, but I think...
It was very un-Nonto, wasn't it? It was very anti-Nonto last night. And I think you're quite right. I mean, he was my man of the match. I think you touched upon some great points there. That's things that we saw from Nonto. It was only a week ago or 2 weeks ago that we were saying on here, we haven't seen that Willie Nonto of last season yet this season. But if we do... It's a whole different ball game because we know how good he can be and how threatening he can be, and just with the ball at his feet, when he's playing his game, he's unplayable, and certainly at this level. So completely agree on man of match. Gilly, did you have anybody else in your top three?
Well, I'll just go for a different top three just because we've already spoken about them, and I think
no, you don't have to. I just wondered if you had anybody if you were
no,
pick
yeah, no, I did so in a remarkable turnabout from where I was with him in the summer. I just love watching Rutter play football because he just loves it and he wants the ball all the time. And he's a completely different player at this level. He just is. So I like watching him play football because he plays with a smile on his face. It's just ace watching him. I think a hat nod from me to Gruev because how he manages to consistently keep his passing, his pass completion rates at the level it is, he's just out of this world. And I don't care who you are or how much Bulgarian football you'd watch or anything else, nobody saw him having this impact. With the side, the inauspicious start, and I know he'd not had a run of games, but and Andy were coming on in a different position because when he came on as a sub, he were further up the pitch and he was just doing the job, he was just running around for us. Nobody saw this coming, and he's properly cemented his place. He's been given a chance, and he's really put himself into contention to be in our first 11 when the strongest is fullback from now till the end of the season. And I'm going three, and then that's my two, and then my number one, I'm going to go with Archie. And the reason for that is because he has worked really well with Nonto covering him, but Archie supporting him in attack as well. And I think if you look at that Nonto goal, that breakaway goal when he megs their man, turned him inside out and megs their man. If you look at Archie before that, it snaps three players' ankles just by a shimmy of his waist and dropping a shoulder, then pulls it back. They all go the other way again, and then he goes again, bends the ball in, perfect weight on it. Nonto runs on it and it's a goal. And that's what he's got in his locker. So I think because we can name six, and both of you are just nodding along with me when I'm saying them, that goes to your point.
Well, I was just going to say, we've named six, but the players we haven't named, Junior Firpo, Joe Rodon, Chris Enchio, Somerville, and
Piro, anything wrong.
All had good games.
That's why it's difficult.
All night. It is. Yeah. And you know that the same goes for a lot of the recent games. If we look at Bristol, I would have probably said something similar. If we look at Rotherham, I probably would have said something relatively similar as well. That actually we could have named a good. There'd probably be arguments for at least between five and seven players to be actually man of the match. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Amelia even caught the ball on more than one occasion in one game.
He did. I think the only thing that let Amelia down last night, and I think it was actually Ampadu's fault because the back pass was his right foot rather than his left. Yeah. It wasn't a great back pass, and it bobbled over his foot, and his shin and went out for a...
Corner.
For a corner, that's right. Yeah. Cool. Right, we'll fly through a few of these comments that have been coming in about yesterday, and then we will slowly take a little stroll on. I might not read that one out.
What's been going off in comments? I've missed some of these.
It's funny you should say that because I started reading through some of the comments a minute ago.
Was it somebody offering out his sister?
Yeah, somebody offering out the sister. It's almost like Valentine's Day Tinder on here tonight.
Bremner's ghost putting his sister on the chat.
Yeah. So a couple of comments then. The biggest brothel in Wales is Barbie World. apparently, never been. I wouldn't know. Chris Frost. Now this is a really nice message. I wanted to just scroll up. We were in the pub after the game, and Gilly, I think you'd gone actually on on Saturday, and a young man came over to us and had a chat with us and said how much he loves the show and how much it helps with his mental health and stuff. So that was Chris. Welcome, Chris. And he just thanks us for having a chat with him in the Peacock. So more than welcome. Anybody who does see us, come over and have a call. We've always got something good to say. Ish. nice to meet you as well. Yeah. Nice to meet you as well, Chris. Yeah, well, pleasure. Nice. Steve Brown, watching Sky, had no idea what was happening second half. Yeah, Sky went to shit yesterday, didn't it? So Sky TV is, I mean, probably won't say it on here just in case we get sued, but it is. yes, Brebner's goes, you can say it for us. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
That's even better. Johnny Brown makes a great point here. When both their fullbacks thought, fuck me, when they saw Nonto and Creed going off and then saw Dan James and Anthony coming on. Imagine imagine seeing them two going off and thinking, yes, easy last half hour, and then seeing Dan James and Jaden Anthony coming on. It just shows what sort of class we've got in depth, done it, this season, and it's just so nice to watch as well. Anthony, I'm going to save that comment. I'm going to save that comment because they're sort of more about a bit later on. Gabe the American, and me and Gabe have had our differences on Twitter, but he's come on to compliment myself for dunking on those Southampton accounts for saying we were out of the race. Absolutely my kind of petty. Makes two of us.
I think a lot of that was... I'd take a dim view of that Southampton account. I genuinely think that it was just after Traction Online. And that's really easy to get from our fan base, isn't it?
Yeah. Bremner's Ghost asked, Carl, are you on the pool tonight? Is it Valentine's Day?
I'm not. No. I'm sitting here with a bottle of something.
Two lads talking about football.
Yeah.
I think he's on about the hairdo, maybe. Maybe because you look well groomed tonight, I think somebody said earlier on.
Right. Thanks.
Owen Brody just joined. Luke, did you catch up with the Deadly Dormant on Saturday? No, actually, because he told me he was drinking in a pub that burnt down towards the end of last year. So, funnily enough, I didn't catch up with the Deadly Dormant because he was lying where he was. So, surprise, surprise. But yeah, that's a few of this. Oh, hang on a minute. One more from Bremner's Ghost I missed. 3-0 from now to the end of the season from Gilly's lips to God's ears. Jesus Christ.
I struggled there.
Like I was like Vic Reeves doing his club song. Brilliant.
The bad news is Ipswich are now 2-0 up.
I don't see Ipswich as our competition now. I very much think that they will win a few games, but they will not be in the race, I don't feel.
Nah, hit a wobble there, haven't they?
Millwall on goal. Keep those receipts, Lou. That's right, Johnny. Good evening, Mark Edison, Motley Crew. How are you doing? Cool. Right then, we shall move on very, very quickly to our Bren, who does the Bren. Again, mixed up both the names. But anyway, Bren's done this intro, so let's do it.
Hey, oh, has got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
So, this week, a few we probably could have gone at, but two. Gillard, would you like to read one out? And Carl, you read the other one out. How about that?
I'll pop this one up. Carl, you want to read that one out?
Give me a second. I need to sit a little closer.
I have what they used to be.
Late change before kickoff from the Leeds United account. Bamford came off during warm-ups and has been replaced by Joel Pearl in the starting 11. At Jeff Snee _Snee has replied, if ever there was a justification for me saying sell Bamford to a Sunday league team, this is it. We look world beaters without him. I think Jeff needs to wind his neck in.
I mean, it seems a bit harsh given how well Bamford's played recently.
Yeah, that's unjust criticism, that.
Yeah, and just the next one is Vinny P. MOT. Byram injured and Shaq refuses to travel because his kid is due. That tells you all you need to know about his future. #LUFC.
Jesus. So, we've basically got one person saying that Bamford's been at a load of shit this season and we should flog him for nothing, pretty much, to a non-league side or anybody that would take him. And then we've got somebody else saying that actually the birthday of your baby comes second. Is my signal messing up?
It went a bit there, yeah.
Not for me, it didn't. You're all right.
And then we've got the other guy basically saying that having children isn't the most important thing in the world, but kicking a ball around for 90 minutes or being on the bench even for 90 minutes is in Swansea. So what we'll do, we'll pop a quick poll up in the chat.
Just on one of those points about Shackleton that he makes, isn't he still recovering from an illness regardless of whether his child has been born anyway? So having him around the
match. He hadn't played.
Yeah, so
he could have been part of a match day squad, but yeah. he wouldn't have been picked.
That's the thing, like, so let the lad be there for the birth of his child. What a fucking knob that guy is.
And I'll
tell you what, like, there is some bell ends about, like, isn't there? You see shit like that online and you're like, here, look, just wind your neck in a bit there now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, oh, hello, Smitty. Thought you were out all night tonight, mate.
Oh.
Sorry. Hello, Smarty, Mr. I'm too busy to come on here. Anyway, the poll is now up. Baby Shaq of no importance or Bamford non-league loser? So give us your vote, see what you think is the worst take, the shit take of the week, and we will we'll promote the winner of that poll before the end. And that has been your...
Hey, oh, has got a shit take this week, my little spatter fact.
My little spatter fart, my little spatter fart. Right, then one thing I just wanted to get up and have a brief discussion about is I was sent where we were this time last year. The question, Bremner's Ghost, is which is the worst take, which is the shittiest take, who's the biggest not online knobhead this week, pretty much. But yeah, I shared a thing earlier on. I shared a tweet, and it just compares to where we are this year. Can you see that?
Yep.
Can you both see that? Yeah.
Yep.
Where we are this year to the year we got promoted under Marcelo. And after 32 games under Marcelo, we had, it's not going to let me see the full thing. But we basically had 56 points after 32 games. We are now on, as you can see there, 66 points after 32 games. So we're actually 10 points in front of where we are or where we were under that season under Marcelo. I think we went on to win something stupid, like 17 I can't remember, something stupid like 47 and 52 points so in the running, though, under Marcelo. So, I mean, it doesn't paint a complete picture by any means, but I think it's just worth noting that we are actually doing fucking well this season.
Yeah, it is only because sides around us are having record-breaking seasons that we're not running away with it at this point. Much as I said about Gruev coming in and having the impact, nobody saw us winning 7 league games in a row. You know, however well you play, it's unlikely that that's going to happen at any point. I think you are right if we cast our minds back to that promotion season. I think it was when the games restarted, we lost to Cardiff and then went unbeaten to end of season. I seem to recall it was 10 points that we won the league by. You couldn't rule that out happening again. You know, we've won 7 on the bounce. Who's to say that we're not going to go and do that again? So, it's been a good bit of fun. And plus, who were it? Were it Stoke that we absolutely eviscerated 5-0?
First game of the season. Oh no, sorry.
No. In that run in towards the end of the season.
West Brom, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. I think you're right. I think it was Stoke. We did beat West Brom.
I think it was Stoke. We spanked that Ellen Road.
Because West Brom were contenders.
Then obviously the guard of honour at Derby was a highlight as well.
Yeah. Do you think then, let me ask you this question because it's controversial. Do you think we're a better team now under Daniel Farke than we were under Marcelo Bielsa?
I think we're a different team. We're not, I don't think
That's
we're
the question
a better
I asked.
Team. I don't think we're a better team because they're both better in different ways. Like the styles of play are completely different, but they're both on par with each other. I don't think either one is better. I think the players we have now very much suit the system and the style Farke wants to play. The players we had then were able to understand and implement how complicated Marcelo's style of play was. And they were a little bit more mature as well. Like, the, you know, there were players who were like 25, 26, you know, up on 28, 29 at one point. And they're just a little bit more, I don't know, they were able to grasp stuff that he wanted to do quicker, perhaps, because they were more along their professional career, I think. But the style of play Farke plays is, it's high energy. I don't think, you know, it's harder to get an older team to play that high energy the way we do, I think.
Let me ask you a different question, Gilly. Do you think Bielsa's Leeds scores many past Farke's Leeds?
I think they probably do. And it would come down to the patterns of play and the overlapping fullbacks and the way that they were. I mean, lest we forget, and I'm going to hold Carl to ransom on this one, to account on this one. He'd already written.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And off Stuart Dallas and Luke Ayling. By the time we were promoted, so but yeah, I think if you look at, you know, man for man, the starting 11, I think it's really, really, you know, it's paper thin. It's really, really difficult to choose between them. I think in terms of a squad, Farke has got much more talent at his disposal than Bielsa ever had. If you look at, you know, we were reliant on Robbie Gotts, Oliver Casey, Leif Davis. You know, these players had not played any football, and we were reliant on them coming in and doing a job in the first team. And you look at what Farke were able to bring on last night, and it's just night and day. So I think in terms of a squad, I'd say we're probably in a better position now. I think in terms of the way that Bielsa was able to get that side playing, and you look at the impact that Click was able to have on games, and this, bear in mind, this was somebody that had been chipped out. We saw no future with him at that point. But you know, if you look at overall the 1-11, well, we had Kassir in net, and now we've got Melier in net. I think that's an improvement. I think the centre backs that we're playing at the moment, it's difficult because you had Ben White, and you can see, you know, we've seen the way that his career has gone since then. And I think as a footballer, if you compare him to Rodon, I love watching Rodon play football. He's no nonsense. He gets into it. He won't be having the fake bake stuff that Ben White's got and all of that, all of the trappings that go along with it. But he was a very, very good footballer. And that, you know, that was really evidenced by that that volley he scored towards the end of the season. He might have been at last game of the season, I think. So I think it's really, and you know, Calvin was absolute quality, top of his game under Bielsa. He was absolute quality. So it is a difficult one. I think we do concede more goals than we have been doing, because it's just unreal the run that we've been on. I think it's over 11 hours we've conceded one goal.
We've conceded one this calendar year in the league. One goal.
Yeah. And I think that's now extended to over 11 hours.
17. Yeah. Scored 17, conceded one, and
that's just seven, unreal.
Yeah. And that's just 23 overall.
So, in a nutshell, then, looking at those two tables, and obviously it's easy in hindsight to say where, because we got promoted that season. But where would you? Who would you rather be? And in those two races?
I think that's a really difficult one as well. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the quality of the division this time round, I think the reason that the top sides are having such fantastic seasons this time round is because the rest of the division is shite. You know, you look at the levels of ability that your Wednesdays and Rotherhams and whoever else have got. Stoke are awful. We've absolutely just battered Swansea. The rest of the division is really weak. And I don't think that was true at the time when we were playing under Bielsa. Plus, it was a really, really weird time. You know, we were playing without fans there and all the other bits that went along with it at that time. So it was anomalous in that regard anyway. But I think from the standpoint of purely looking at it, we are doing better in pure terms. You know, were it 10 points, you said, we were ahead of where we'd been at the same point in the season. But we're also playing some absolute dross. And I think the division was actually stronger in Bielsa's time than it is now.
You think it was stronger when West Brom and Brentford and Fulham and that were in the league? Because they didn't have great squads then.
I think overall, the quality was better.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You think it was more competitive league? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Well, yeah, more equal across the division than, you know, some superstar clubs that we've got now and then some that should not be in this league. And then you look at the promoted sides from last season that went into the Premier League and them coming back down again does not make this division look any better next season. They're woeful.
No. It's just very Leeds in it that we're in, you know, the most competitive championship ever, pretty much, where records have been broken, and the Premier League's got arguably four absolutely gash teams in it. So I mean, for me, I think I preferred watching Marcelo's football, but I just feel far more assured under Farke's football. We don't ever feel like... that's probably a lie, actually. I would probably say since the turn of the new year, because we had an awful couple of games over Christmas. Since the turn of the new year, we've just almost kicked into an additional gear. They're both defensively. Now, that could be because of the inclusion of Ampadu at centre-back or, you know, Gruev coming into midfield or whatever. We don't know. And we probably never will know. There probably won't be one specific reason, but I just feel like we don't really look like conceding, and if we do, it's a set piece or it's somebody switching off. Under Marcelo, we made so many errors, individual errors that led to goals as well.
Yeah, we did, but it was high risk, high reward, wasn't it? And that was the football.
It was. And that's why it was great to watch. That's why it was great to watch.
Like, do you think with the quality of the squad Marcelo had made it? I'm not trying to belittle anything about Farke. It's a good opportunity for him with having the ability to have the players there that he needs and wants. But do you think is it more impressive what Bielsa did because the squad he inherited and the limited kind of funds?
See, I thought about this.
Sorry, go on, Luke.
The reason I thought about it was Marcelo didn't get promoted in his first season, and he was nowhere near this points tally either. In his first season, it would have been much less than a 10-point difference. Now, we've got to take into account that when the season we got promoted and won the league with Marcelo, he'd already been here for a year. He'd done 12 months. They all knew how to play that system. He had, you know, I think if we'd have had this squad in pre-season, we would be right up where Leicester are now.
Yeah, I think we'd be above Leicester.
I probably agree with you. So that's why. Financially we're better off now than we were under Marcelo because we had Radza's money and that was it. We've got parachute payments now. We've got the 49ers. We've got, you know, we sold players and whatever else. So if you look at the two squads, they're probably chalk and cheese in terms of financials and value of squads when Marcelo took over and when Farke took over. But I still think we'd probably be doing Farke a bit of an injustice if we said, actually, Marcelo worked wonders with that team. We've got to think of the man management Farke's gone through with Cresswell, with Nonto, with fucking Sinisterra off. And, you know, I think probably as a fan base, because we've always... Marcelo's been the recent god of Elland Road. We're always going to compare to him, but I think we're probably always going to disjustice anybody do anybody a bit of disjustice. Anybody who came in, whether they could win the league by 100 points and would still be doing them, would still be comparing them to Marcelo and the football we saw under Marcelo.
Yeah, it's true. But at the same time, it's a question that's always going to be asked, and you know, I am not taking away from Farke's achievements at all here. I won't stay too long on this, but I just think, you know,
given the
quality he has, he should be doing what he's doing with the team that he has. Like he's gotten through a very, like you said, difficult summer transfer window, August. If it was a stable, steady team and squad and club when he came in, we could be miles clear at this stage. But anyway, sorry.
What do you make of this comment from Roland? Do you think this is true? I've got some alternatives to this, so I don't believe this is true, but it's a great comment. Bielsa made players better. Farke doesn't have to.
So I think the level of football that the players that Farke has available to him is different to the players that Bielsa had available to him. You know, I already mentioned about Click.
Certainly squad depth.
They've been bombed out. Hmm. Yeah. But Click had been bombed out. We didn't expect him to come back at all. You know, you look at Chybicki, who didn't get a look in. But Bielsa had seen something in Click, brought him back, and then he played 8,000 consecutive games for him. But I think Bielsa did improve that squad massively. You know, you mentioned that game against Stoke, that first game of the season when Click started us off with the goal scoring. Nobody saw that coming. It blew us away. And then that were a case of, right, okay, for the next, well, what turned out to be 3 or 4 years, just hang on. Just hang on and deal with it as best you can, because this is going to be a roller coaster, and that's how it went. And I think that bit where we were looking like we were consigned to being 14th, 15th every season, we also went, right, okay, no more of that. This is what we're going to do. And I think that standing on the shoulders of giants is unfair given what happened between Bielsa and Farke. But we don't have Farke now without Bielsa. He laid the groundwork for that to happen, and you know, the training, the swimming pool being reopened, the players not having to go and get their own socks, you know, all of those things that not all Bielsa, you know, some kudos still has, you know, even if it went sour in the end, some kudos has to be given to the owners at that time, but that was the groundwork that was done that we needed to be done. And now we are in that much better position. So there's a weight of expectation, but you've got Somerville and Nonto coming off the back of successful, to a certain extent, successful Premier League campaigns, in as much as they were able to influence games and they were able to get at teams that wouldn't have expected them to. You know, you look at what they did against Liverpool and you know, there were games, Bournemouth, another one that sticks out. But you've also got players that have been with that squad, like Stoick, who's been there for a while. He's had 3 seasons of Premier League football. He should be more than able to cope at this level. Whereas Bielsa was doing it when he was going up against Halme as to who was going to be in the squad. You know, it was a very different context.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Somebody mentioned there, I've seen a good comparison. James under Bielsa, Dan James versus James under Farke is one obvious one. Obviously, he's played out of position a lot of time under Marcelo as well.
Make that point, because he's not a nine, is he? And he's never going to be a nine. And if Farke were having to play him there, he wouldn't be doing as well as he is now. He's in his natural position. So it's a fair point to say, because it is true. But at the same time, there's some context to it as well.
Yeah. Let's get through a few of these comments then, because I know we've still got to talk about the game at the weekend against Plymouth. So where will I sort of start? Bielsa, there we go. Start with Edward Smarty. Smarty, who couldn't make it because he's been too busy. But Bielsa's leads were swashbuckling and better to watch. This team has more quality and he's much more efficient. I think that's actually first time I'm going to ever agree with you, and probably the last. But yeah, I think you're spot on. Owen says better squad, not better football. I think that
term efficient. So I'd said it about Harry Kane in the past. He's not a player that excites me. You know, whether it be at club level or for England, he's not a player that excites me. He scores a lot of goals. When you look at his record on paper, he should be an exciting player to watch. You'd think that he would be, but he's just not. But he's just efficient. He gets goals. And I'm not saying that it's not enjoyable to watch Farkas Leeds win games, because it is. It's not the same level of excitement as watching a Bielsa team. That's the difference for me.
Yeah. No, Phil, just to answer this, why compare them? I think because it's natural. We're always going to compare to something good. Why not compare them? I am enjoying it. I enjoy them both. But I don't understand why people don't want you to compare them. They're both doing really, really good. They both did a really good job. One did a really good job, past tense, and one is doing a very good job. Why not compare them? I mean, we're not comparing similarities in terms of their styles or anything like that. We're comparing why they do both do potentially doing so well. And it actually leads me nicely onto the next comment, which was about Rutter somewhere in the starred messages. There we go. Look at Rutter. He's not only playing better because we're in the Champions League, he's loving it. And this is one comparison I would like to make between Farke and Marcelo. The players look united and they are all enjoying every second of playing for Leeds United again. Look at the Premier League years, that second half of the first season, I would say onwards, right up until the end, we never looked like a team at any stage, really. There was whispers of fallouts. There was, this senior leader group, and there was all sorts of shit going down, wasn't there? And one of the things that is really nice to see when we're going to Elland Road or to an away game and actually seeing this time is that unity between the players and that they're actually loving playing for each other, but also for the badge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw when we couldn't be there, we saw a lot of togetherness in that squad, especially when they were watching that Leeds legend Emil Smith Rowe, it was the chant and all right, on the face of it, maybe it's not quite as good for us as it was at the time, but when we chant about Thomas Frank and all of those videos that came out of Elland Road of the squad just really, really enjoying that time period, and the same level of access to the squad might not be there right now. And it's because, we're able to be in the stands and whatever else. It's kind of a really different context. But they are really enjoying the football. And you look at the way, Dan James as well, but you look at the way that Somerville and Rutter and Nonto interchange and work for each other and pick each other out. And to a certain extent, just know where each other are going to be. They know each other's game well now. And I think that the way that they complement each other and the likes of Griv and Kamara are foils for them to just go and impress themselves on the game. That bit especially is just great to watch. They're just enjoying it.
Yeah, I thought there was lovely link-up play between Somerville and Nanto last night, along with Nanto and Gray. I thought everything about that kind of area of the pitch is starting to really kick into gear, regardless of who's playing, whether it be Dan James or whether it be Jadon Anthony or whatever the case may be. The fact that Rutter has gone into that 10 role permanently, I think, has made us better going forward. And to be fair, it's very impressive to watch when we're in full flight. Like, there was a game on Saturday.
You can get a receipt out here, Carl, and tell Gilly what he thought of Rutter.
I already have.
He's admitted to it. There's no point booting him in the head afterwards. I think the Somerville's first goal against Rotherham on Saturday, where Rutter just broke through, got smashed a couple of times, and then somehow out of stride, any kind of normal looking running stride, he managed to play that ball through. And I think that's what we've been missing, in that pass that can unlock that defence that we've been talking about for so long. I think it's Rutter that's doing that now, and I think if any time he's played up front, I think we're going to lose that forward momentum, because he drops too deep but then tries to play up front, it doesn't work. And he's actually excelling in that 10 role now at the moment.
Yeah, completely agree, mate. Right then, at the risk of being on here for 2 hours tonight, I think we better sort of move forward very, very slowly, or very, very quickly even. Just a few quick comments before we do. Roland says, does Pod Dodger have a job interview? Looking clean cut.
I'm in a job.
No. Johnny says Carl's haircut is nice. Normally looks like it's been cut with a knife and fork.
Well, no, you see, that's the thing. I was literally going to say that I decided I'd stop looking like I got dragged through a bush. Like, so, you know.
And Scooby says the other day it was Jay, I think he's called, who was looking groomed. Today it's Pod, which meaning you, Pod Dodger, I'm assuming.
That's cool.
Less gray in the mouth at the moment, isn't it?
The best turned out, the best turned out horse of the day goes to Bod Dodger. Well done, Carl.
Horse today.
Here's your bottle of champers, and on you go. Right then, let's move swiftly on to Saturday lunchtime kickoff. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're early kickoff. We're on telly again.
12:30.
And we go back down to Devon to drink cider from 11. And it's Plymouth away again. So obviously we played them only last week in the cup. They took us to extra time. We did play a week in 11, if there was such a thing. How do we expect this one to go then, lads? Let's be honest. I'll start with you, Gilly.
I think we'll win.
Thanks for that. You, Carl. I'm just kidding. Go on,
No, I think you know, you look at they played well against us in both legs of the FA Cup games. I thought that they matched us reasonably well, and they did try and play football. I think they've got a couple of players that can hurt teams, and you look at the fact that they were able to score against us both in both games, or albeit against a changed team. On our part, but still, they were able to score against us in both games. When you look at what we've done in the league and the run that we're on, even with some of the personnel being changed, that's quite a thing. So I think, you know, they are a side that they're not really a pushover. They've got a couple of people that I do expect will step up, maybe to a relegated team next season rather than to the Premier League, but I think can make that step. But I don't really think that we're in danger of losing out on the 3 points.
Nah, I feel quite similarly. I just can't see. I think
and we've
I think
not been beaten on, by them in 10.
Yeah, based on the side that we played down there, still took it to replay. We brought a bit of quality on, and we thumped him in extra time in half an hour. So, I'm quietly confident. Carl, do you sit on the same fence?
Side
of the fence, even.
I'm 100% on the same side of the fence there. Like, I'm so confident that we're probably going to hockey them that I'm not even going to put down that we concede a goal in my prediction.
Oof, blimey.
Yeah. I know you said they've scored against us in the last two games, but like Gilly said there at the end, or was it yourself, Luke, that as soon as we brought on the quality, we absolutely spanked them. So we're going to start all the quality on Saturday, and it's 3 points in the bag for me. Like, there's not.
I mean, they are beating Coventry right now. Coventry are only just outside the playoff spots. You know, they're not a pushover. They're not us.
They're not a bad side. They won that league out of Canter last year, I think, didn't they? The league one. I think they won it quite comfortably.
I'm not saying they're a pushover by any means, but psychologically, we've beaten them three times already this season. Like, well, twice and a draw.
Blah. I think there's a lot they can take from the FA Cup games, though. The fact that they scored against us, the fact that they took us to a replay and then took us to extra time, especially against the context of where we are in the league and the season that we're having so far. I think there's a lot they can take from that. I don't expect them to cause us too many issues, but I don't expect it to be a pushover.
No, I didn't say it was going to be a pushover, but I expect us to absolutely batter them. Like,
so that's the same thing, Cal. I don't know if anyone's ever told you, but that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, no disrespect to Plymouth. I just don't think I don't think they've got it in their locker mentally to beat us now. I think that's it. I think 3 points done.
And that's fair, you know, but they've got two goal scorers in double figures, and one of them scored more than any of our players. You know, they've got players that can hurt teams.
But they concede. That's their biggest problem. They're open. Like, if you look back, I think we discussed it in a previous pod where I was just looking back at their kind of run at the time, and they concede a lot. Like, when they do win, they have to score three goals to win games sometimes, like, you know. So
I said, just don't slow down.
Wow. Totally against the run of play there, Alison. Shoots mine and my fish in the water there.
Anthony Callery said earlier, he thinks if we, I think he shares the sentiment. If he thinks if we let Plymouth play, we could be in for a bit of a shock and they could hurt us. Do any of you see that? I mean, I've not seen anything really in the two fixtures against them. I thought we were relatively poor against them at home and we still beat them 2-1. 2-1 at our place?
Oh, you're asking now.
Hold on, I'll get the old
some memories between us, aren't we? I'm pretty sure it was. I've got the worst memory of us all, and I'm saying I'm pretty sure it was 2-1. I'm probably a mile off. But there seems to be a little bit of nervousness in and around. But
2-1. It was 2-1 to us on the 11th of November. Well done, Luke. That's right.
Do any of you share any of them nerves, or do you think based on the last performance and all performances actually this calendar year, I can't see how somebody of Plymouth's stature could damage us. I mean, it is away from home, all right, and we've been down there once this month already. We've done a lot of travelling. That it will eventually catch up with them, but I just can't see how or where.
Right,
I think. Go on, Cal.
So I said to a lad in work there, what day was it? Maybe Russell Martin, basically Southampton manager, came out. It was Sunday, I think, Sunday or Monday. And he said that he can't understand how Southampton are on the biggest run in their kind of club history and they're still not clear of Leeds. I turned around to the lad in work. I said, psychologically, that's going to fuck their players. And they went out last night and they got hockeyed. Like, you can't sit there and tell me that being beaten by the same team, or, you know, twice and then a lucky draw at Elland Road isn't going to psychologically play on the players' minds, regardless of who they start. Psychology and sport in football is massive. If you have that upper hand on a team and they're going into it going, Jesus, these guys have beat us twice already. Granted, we took them to extra time, but they brought on quality then after that, and they took us to the cleaners. Psychology in football is massive, and I think Russell Martin screwed Southampton by coming out and making that comment. Shouldn't have ever made a comment like that. And then I think Plymouth now haven't been on the run they're on against us. I think that's going to be playing in the back of their mind. They're going to think every time Leeds break, they're going to score because of what we've done just to Swansea recently and what we did to Rotherham last weekend. That's how
equally, and I think that's right. And we are going to be starting with our strongest 11. We're not going to be bringing strong players from the bench that we would have otherwise started, because this is our meat and drink. This is our focus for the season is the league, and it must be. It has to be. But I think from a viewpoint of the way that you are getting Plymouth up for this game is, you look at what Leeds have done so far this season, and you took them over 180 minutes to 2-2. How many other sides of it? So I think there's a relatively straightforward message that you can deliver to your players there. You ignore the fact that, yeah, we brought Somerville on and he scored two. We brought Ruter on, he set up two. You ignore that bit. That's the quiet bit. You don't say that out loud. But you can say to your players, you know, you are in a game here, and don't over-respect Leeds, because you've, in two FA Cup games, you've taken them the full 90 minutes and not been beaten in 90 minutes in either game. So I think there are things that they can say. I don't expect it to be a fully comfortable afternoon. I think the scoreline will be okay. They've got players that can hurt us. Hardy looks handy. Morgan Whittaker, I think, you know, he's on 17 goals already this season. He scores goals for fun and he gets assists as well. He's just a good player. Do not expect him to be there next season. And I think that they are somebody that can get at us. What we are doing is being absolutely imperious in defence. So I think that an individual, I think we will, you know, we're not giving no chances at all. We are massively limiting the amount of chances that teams have against us. So I do expect them to have something to carry some sort of threat. I don't think it'll be enough to influence the game in their favour.
No, that's fair enough. I get that, man. Yeah.
Just on that, then, would you make any changes? Obviously, Bamford probably won't be starting. I so expect Pirlo. Do you expect the same starting 11?
Yeah.
It's another one of those where, unless you are pushed into a change, you don't go to South Wales, win 4-0, and then make a raft of changes for your next game. I don't think you change anything at all unless you have to, based on either how somebody's training or if they've got a twinge or whatever else it might be. I don't expect any changes that would be enforced.
So here's a quick stat for you. The last time we won 8 in a row in a full season was November 1931.
Wow.
So if we win at the weekend, we will equal a nearly 90, over a 90-year-old record, 93-year-old record.
That's not bad going at all.
And there were still people chanting Farker out not so long since.
Mental. Don't listen to them cabbages, Gilly.
I've just got one other thing I just wanted to share with you. Sorry, chaps. I've just been sent this on WhatsApp in one of the Leeds football groups that I'm in. Who do you think's been better out and Gruev?
Say what?
Sorry, I spoke over you then. Go again.
Yeah. All right. Who do you think's been the better of Gruev and Camara?
For me personally, I think Gruev, because we had absolutely no idea what he's like, but we knew what Rangers fans thought of Kamara and kind of knew what to expect from me. With Gruev, I didn't even know who he was.
It's just a quick question, Carl.
I'd say Gruev as well, and I think, you know, important context that Carl gives. It's only just, I think they're both playing well, but I'd go Gruev as well.
Would you be shocked to hear that Glenn Kamara has broken a record recently? It's only just been released, apparently, and it's from Opta. Put it in the brand. Glenn Kamara is the first midfielder Opta has on record to complete 95% of his passes in 7 consecutive championship appearances since 2013. Wow. 95, 95, 100, 97, 95, 196% passing.
And that's 2013-14 onwards. That's when they started tracking that, because we saw some of that, didn't we? Yeah, but that's when they started tracking those stats. So it's not... that's unreal. It is real. Genuinely, that's unreal.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it either. That's that. So shall we go into some predictions, I suppose?
Start well.
Taking some. First one from the fans from now. And then we will start with you, Gilly, I think, because you are top of the league.
Do we want to do a bit of this?
Auto no better predictions.
You put in the time and effort on them, Gilly. We may as well use
them again, isn't it? It will be a surprise to absolutely nobody at all that I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1.
And actually, to be fair, that's consistent with what I was saying about the game as well. So, you know,
I think Johnny Brown was first in here with 2-0 for the fans. So from when I said now, who's above? Oh, I'm above you, Anna Cal.
You are.
I'm going to go 2-1.
Luke, 2-1. Leeds, I'm assuming.
Yes, to Leeds, yes.
And Cal.
3-0. Leeds.
Have we got. So Jay's really busy, isn't he? But Smart has been in the comments. I'm not seeing any from him. But I will pick the rest up from the lads. Thank you very much. Cool. Back to you, Luke.
Cool. Just very quickly, I'll end the poll there. Dickhead of the week, or whatever we call him, shit take of the week, has gone to at Vinny, whatever he was called, a baby Shaq, winning pretty much over 2-1. So 67%. Plays 32%, and the other percent just got lost in space.
That was tough, to be fair. They're two shit takes, like, so
they are shit takes. Yeah, they are very shit takes. But anybody got anything they want to get off their chest this week?
No, it's just quite enjoyable at the minute, isn't it? It's just quite nice.
I'm really not letting anyone bother me at the minute, you know?
Yeah, nothing about football in general you want to get off your chest in a bit of a bitter rant?
Even then, don't think so. I mean, the scum can get in the bin.
Shall we? Hang on.
Auto No Better with Rachel Adedeji.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get on my soapbox too much about it, but yeah, no, the scum can get in the bin. And actually, that is something where I've had a few tete-a-tetes on Twitter this past week, where I have seen some people that have been, without wanting to get into too much bother, and comments are made by individuals and are not necessarily that of the podcast as a thing. You know, certain people defending players for their behaviour away from football purely on the basis that they played for their club, they can all get in the bin. And
blue just cards? Scum.
No blue cards. Yeah, they can piss off as well. I think that there's too much risk, and it feels to me very much like, you know, we go back to ESL and all of that bullshit. It feels very, very much like the powers that be within the game are looking to enact changes that personally I feel are set up for failure so that they can push through the real change that they want. Now, I know that that might sound a little bit, Carl, you know, I've got my tinfoil hat on under my bucket hat. Sorry, Carl. But it might feel a bit much like, why would they go to all of that and whatever else? But they tried getting the ESL stuff through, and it fell flat on its face. But if you then take football and go, well, as a brand, as a product, it's worse than it's ever been because of this, because of this, because of this. So we're going to push through this change, and then we're going to see all of these benefits. You detract from something to then change it to what you want it to be, and it does worry me slightly, because I think they're just messing too much. It doesn't need all of that.
Nah, that was a step too far for me.
Yeah. I think it needs technology in the game. But that's automated technology. Now, if they can get the automated technology that they've used in the Champions League and some of the international competitions, where it can instantly tell the officials whether somebody's offside, and you've got goal line technology.
Wear sensors or something.
Yeah.
In their shirts and socks.
Well,
and
it can, you know the cricket and the tennis, when they've got the lines and they know immediately whether it's in or out or whatever else, they could do that. And they can do it with offsides. So if you can do it with offsides and you don't have to draw the lines and then you're looking at the bullshit and it's, you know, there's a shadow there and Bamford's got his arm out, so he's definitely offside against Palace and all of that rubbish. If you can automate all of that and take any of the doubt out of it, fine, use it. Anything where what you've got, and somebody close to me made this point through this week, if you've got the same shit officials making the decisions, regardless of whether they're on the pitch or in an office in Stockley Park next to Heathrow, you're going to get the same outcomes.
Yeah.
We're getting the same outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point. Carl, anything to get off your chest?
Not particularly, no, to be fair. It's like, place a bit of crack at the minute. Like, I'm enjoying the football and I don't really have any complaints.
Isn't it mad how a football team can determine your mood? Like, generally speaking, do you know, it's right.
Actually, I have one. And
go on, do it.
These fucking Egypt Man U fans defending that prick Mason Greenwood.
I think that's exactly what Gilly just said for the last 10 minutes.
Sound, that one is fucking shite.
Where were you?
I was trying to find that banner
back in
for
the room,
you.
I'm trying to find that
Andy's Man Club thing. I think we have it here, but I don't know if the dates are still in play.
Never mind. Gilly, do we have anything you want to tell people about AMC?
Yeah, so 23rd of March, we'll be walking loads of miles between some of the murals that are spread across Leeds. So it's a joint venture. I believe now one of the actual mural painters is going to be joining us. So it's a joint venture with Andy's Man Club and the Auto Know Better podcast. And I believe that Danny from Not Another Leeds podcast is also joining in. So there'll be a few friendly faces around, and we are fundraising. So I think that AMC is the Leeds branch of AMC, and I think that they'd set the target of £500. And this week it tripped over 1,000. So that's brilliant. So thank you. You know, we've been banging the drum for a while. So thank you to everybody that has supported us, retweeted, liked and done all of those bits, but also that has put their hard earned towards it. It does mean a lot. And it means that AMC can put on more events so that people can see the support and, you know, be able to be in that environment where they feel that they've got that psychological safety, where they can open up and they can talk. And it's so important, especially now more than ever. So it's really positive stuff. And as Carl put in his tweet, we obviously are gluttons for punishment. So I am training. So I've been getting the miles in, trying to get myself right for it. That's the bit from me.
Well done. Well done. Any other business? We all happy? We've got BNC coming back on, I anticipate it might be Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning. Not sure who's on. That could very much determine who is on. A couple more comments just to flick through. John Garside thinks it could come down to the last day at home Southampton. Could well do. John said, apart from Leicester at home, we have the best running, apparently. So I think South Saints do have a bit of a tough one. Scooby's asked, what's on your jumper, Carl? Is it Casper the Friendly Ghost?
No, it's a King Billy Bremner jumper.
Ah, beautiful.
And it's nice. From With the Gods, whoever they are.
With the Gods. If you want one, Scooby, there you are. With the Gods, if you're watching, we expect some sponsorship.
Actually, yeah. There you go.
Cool. I think that's pretty much. Oh, hang on. Gilly's got a couple more dates for stuff going on at AMC, I think.
Yeah. So Friday the 23rd is pool night at Northern Snooker starting at 6:30. They'll be on the tables upstairs. They do have some small donations to the tables, but it's not essential. So if you're brassy, you can still go along. Don't think that you're not welcome. And Sunday the 25th is Barber Club at W2 Barbers on Easterly Road from 11 till 3. Come down, get your hair cut, have a chat with all the proceeds going to AMC. More events coming in March.
Cool. I think that's pretty much it. Carl, do you want to sum up tonight's episode in a few words for us?
I really enjoyed it, to be fair. It's quite good. It's a good laugh, good comments. Like, subscribe, hit the bell notification thing. And we'll see you on Saturday. Who's on Saturday?
Oh, Saturday or Sunday. We don't know. Do we ever work that far ahead? We'll be there. That's all that matters. Take it easy, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Thank you for listening to another Auto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address at OughtToKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.